ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. In our last class, we started the second chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. We discussed three stages of spiritual progress. What are those three? These are also called, normally in Vedanta, vadas, opinions. Srishti drishti vada, drishti srishti vada, eka jiva vada, ajata vada. But the first one, srishti drishti, is not an option. We are all in that srishti drishti. God created world. For us, that is the most natural state into which we are born. It is the only real state that we ever know. But in course of evolution, as our minds delve deep and develop deep thinking, then we understand that everything in this world is changing. That which is changing, unchangeable, cannot be the reality, satyam. Not only that, in order to know everything is changing, there must be someone who is an unchanging witness. And I am that unchanging witness. So this is called drishti srishti vada. It is a great development, truly speaking. If anyone has reached this second stage of drishti srishti vada, then a great evolution had taken place already, and this person is far advanced. But there must be a proof for that. What is that proof? If I truly believe that everything is changing and changeable, and that is the reality, and that is the truth, then at some point of time, he would be able to accept everything without thinking twice. So somebody insulted me, that's okay. That is the nature of this world. Somebody honored me, that is also okay. And the same persons can also honor me and again criticize me. The roles are reversed. That is okay. So, sukha dukhe samay kritva, labhav labhav jaya jayo. Tato yuddhaya yujyasva, naivam papam avapsyasi. A most marvelous statement supporting this drishti srishti vada, that when a person, whether he gains or loses, whether it is profitable or loss, whether it is victory or defeat, whether it is praise or criticism, if he is able to live alone without being affected by it, and to a great extent, such a person is having a great spiritual progress actually. So, still he goes on through all these experiences, but he knows. But at the same time, he says, I am the witness of all these changes, but I do not know what I am. Then he analyzes further. This is called analysis from the beginning to the end. So first we all analyze the srishti drishti vada. Why is there so much of pain? And in course of time, why is there so much of happiness? And why is it changing? Can it be remedied? Then we understand, no, it cannot be remedied. And since we observe this happiness and unhappiness, prosperity and poverty, it goes on changing with different persons. What is the cause? Why is one person born rich another poor, etc., we come to know there must be a cause, because what we observe is an effect, and every effect must have a cause, and I don't see the cause. Even a baby is born in a very wealthy family. What cause do I see there? So we are forced to say that there is something which I cannot see, I do not see, but it must exist. That is the faith, that we must have created the cause at some other point of time. And the baby is born now. So where is that point of time? So the baby must be existing in the past also to create this kind of effect. So he must be the cause. And that is what this person has said. How he advances in his thinking. And along with advancement in his thinking comes also its effect. What is the effect? He is less affected by the changes. He becomes more withdrawn, more calm and quiet, more able to contain, tolerate, and still remain peaceful under any type of circumstance. Remember, this applies to the, if a person is happy, he won't be overjoyed. If a person has obtained a lot, he will not be excited. He treats both of them. It comes, it goes. So, that is called drishti srishti, and that is a great progress in evolution. So, this concept of evolution, Vedanta has taken to the highest state. Swami Vivekananda says, to understand the concept of evolution, we must understand the concept of involution. That is, from where we have fallen. We have fallen from God. Not really, but it appears as if. So, going back, remembering my real nature, that is called evolution. So, the body is a great help. The brain is a great help. The mind is a great help. My deep sleep is a great help. Everything in this world is a great help aiding our further evolution, provided we know how to take that help and use it for the highest purpose of knowing who I am. So this person has understood that everything depends upon my understanding. And why not I take this understanding further? So he analyzes now, like he analyzed dream state, waking state. Now he starts analyzing the dreams, deep sleep, dreamless sleep. Then he understands there is no world, and yet I am the happiest person for a long time. And then that shows that I am only one jiva and everything is my creation. But he has to go even beyond that. I am that unchanging witness who is never affected by anything that happens, whether I experience waking, dream, or dreamless state. So, then he understands there is no creation at all. When he understands I am Atman, from the Atman's point of view, there is no creation at all, because there cannot be a second thing. This is called Ajatavada. There is never creation. So what I wanted to emphasize is, these are not intellectual gymnastics, but these are true stages of spiritual progress. So, how does it work? First, the world is real. So, that is how we all start. This is for believers in the reality of the Srishti Drishti or external world. Second, the world is my own construct. Just as I construct my own dreams, might I not also be constructing the whole world through my opinions? Is a good man, that is a evil person, etc. So this is called Drishti Srishtivada. It comes only after deeply analyzing the dream state. Next state, I am the one who creates the whole dream world. and extend that understanding, I am the one who also creates the entire waking world. Therefore, I am the only jiva, eka jiva vada. When the same person progresses further and tries to analyze a deep sleep state, then he understands that there is no creation at all. And when this knowledge is transformed into realization, then he becomes a realized soul. And one day, like the guru, he can say, Aham Brahmasmi. And then he will be, of course, freed. But what is the effect of this disciple's realization upon the guru? The guru will rejoice a million times more than the disciple. He exclaims to himself, this is my construct. Oh, what a great relief. A big burden is off me. One less problem. And he has to pay attention to other people who have taken refuge with him. This is what we had discussed. Now, we will analyze what is called second chapter, first section itself. So, Gargiya's knowledge. Gargiya came innocently thinking he knows everything about Brahman. He doesn't even know there are two types of Brahman, Saguna and Nirguna. Even his knowledge of the Saguna Brahman is not complete. So, Gargiya came as a self-proclaimed teacher of Brahmagnana, and then Ajatashatru gave him 1,000 cows. Ajatashatru understood Gargiya is a sincere person and he requires further guidance. But the methodology he adopted was, please teach me. And Gargiya started to teach what he knew. Not only that, what he did. That is important for us. Unlike modern professors, not like that, but every time he says, Upase, I contemplate upon the Aditya, upon the Chandra, upon the Vidyut, Agni, etc., 12 upasanas he teaches. Every time, one teaching is given by Gargiya. Ajatasatru says, this upasana of yours is too limited. I know better. I know what you taught already. I also know it is limited. But I know much better upasana, which will give you much better result. I will teach you what I know. Remember, it is all about Saguna Brahma only. So, 12 times he gives this teaching. 12 times Ajatasatru improved the understanding of Gargiya. In the end, Gargiya exhausted his knowledge and he admitted his knowledge of Brahman was very limited. Ajatashatru, at the end of the 12 upasanas, then he asks, is this all that you know? And then Gargiya accepts, yes, this is all that I know, very humbly. So, Gargiya's humility comes forth. That's why he said he was an apt disciple. Humbly he begged the king to take up the role of the teacher and become, and he decided, let me become your disciple, the king's disciple, which was not in the tradition in those days. Then the king led Gargiya to the highest knowledge of Brahman in two stages. What was the first stage? Every time Gargiya taught a particular upasana, and every contemplation, upasana means contemplation, is to meditate upon the Saguna Brahma with one particular quality. A quality, when it is thought over many times, then slowly that quality becomes manifest as one's own nature. Remember, all these qualities are already there within each one of us. Each soul is potentially divine. Only because of this process of creation, evolution, we have to go for a long time through the unspiritual qualities, otherwise called worldly qualities, otherwise called walking the prayomarga. So, that is how the development takes place. That is the first stage. And by the end, Gargia had stopped teaching. Ajatasatru extended his upasanas. And every time, as I said, Gargia must have practiced it until Gargia had acquired a particular quality through repeated contemplation as taught by Ajatasatru. Ajatasatru would not proceed to the next stage, like any good teacher, until the student grasps the lower class truths, he will not take him to the higher class. Like that, he led him, and then Ajatasatru made him a disciple. Now, Gargia is ready to receive the second stage. Then, I am just forestalling what Ajatasatru did it from the 15th shloka onwards. So, Ajatasatru took him to a sleeping person. First, he calls him by certain names belonging to the moon. And then the man did not respond at all. Then the king gently shakes him. No response. Then the king shakes him quite hard, but there was no response. Then the king shakes that sleeping person violently. Then he opens his eyes. That is all the subject matter for teaching Gargia further. Then Ajatasatru takes him away, makes him sit. Now you have witnessed this man was sleeping and he did not respond. Where was he? And how did he come back? Two questions. Where was he when I called him, when I gently shook him, when I shook him with more effort, and when I shook him with tremendous violence? What happened to that man? If he was the body, if he was the mind, he would have woken up. But then he became detached from the body, from the mind. That is what happens to all of us. We become totally detached from the cross body, which means from the entire external world, then from the subtle body, which means our entire inner organ, which is called the mind. Then this person was in the deep sleep state. What is the deep sleep state? It bears close resemblance to Turiyavastha. First of all, Ekameva Advitiyam. There is no second. There is no body. There is no mind. That means there is no world at all. Secondly, he is absolutely joyous and peaceful. That is why Vedanta gives it a peculiar name. It is called Anandamaya Kosha. They are full of unbroken bliss so long as the deep sleep lasts. So, the lesson the guru wanted to teach the disciple is that every jiva is a jiva only so long as that person is identified with the waking, with the dream, with the deep sleep. But the moment a person analyzes, analysis means what? I am experiencing with the waking. I am experiencing the dream. I am experiencing the deep sleep. And whatever is experienced is not me. If I am seeing a tree in front of me, I am not the tree. If I am seeing a donkey in front of me, nobody would claim that I am a donkey. The person, much less the person. So this is how the progress starts. And because Ajatasatru was a realized soul and his apt disciple Gargia had acquired all the necessary spiritual qualities and became a fit disciple, Shravana takes place. What is that Shravana? So he who is in this Aditya, that being, the real one, who is manifesting as Aditya, but who is not Aditya, who is not the sun god, it is only the solar orb. We all see only the solar orb, the orb of the moon, and this orb of the stars. We don't see whose real manifestation it is. Remember, we should never forget, every single thing, living or non-living, is a manifestation of Brahman, as Vispulingaha, as fire, sparks of fire, when there is a blazing fire, many sparks will be moving here and there. And they are all partaking the nature of the fire. Everything illumines, even though very small, to that extent. And every spark is hot. Heat and light are the very natural qualities of fire. So like that, if the Brahman is the original cause, everything in this world must be only Brahman. That is how every Upanishad wants to teach. No Upanishad ends. These are the Upasanas you have to do. If you notice deeply any Upanishad, it tells all these Upasanas. And practically, every Upanishad has some Upasanas, directly or indirectly. They're all meant to purify the mind, to develop concentration, to develop more identity with larger whole, and then finally realize, I am the only one, I am the whole, there is nobody besides me. Every Upanishad, every scripture, even though some of the scriptures of some religions do not explicitly talk about Nirguna Nirakara Brahma, a fact remains a fact, a truth remains a fact, a truth irrespective of what we think about it. A thing remains as it is, irrespective of what we think about that something. A good man will be a good man, even if we happen to think he is an evil person. So, that is the truth actually. But what about an evil person? When we think about an evil person, and if we think this person's nature is evil, and he will ever be evil only, we will be profoundly mistaken. Every person is an evil person at some stage of the evolution, but everything changes. So evil changes for good. Good also makes a person, throws it up like the what is called pole vault. The purpose of the pole is to separate us from the pole, but in the process it makes us cross something the pole itself cannot cross. So this is how the development has to take place. I will just read out only what Gargya started teaching in the second mantra, and thereafterwards I will not read out the original mantra, but we will analyze in plain English language the essence of what conversation took place whenever Gargya taught a particular upasana to Ajatashatru. And every mantra is helping Gargya to evolve further towards the highest truth in the form of making him a fit recipient. With these points in view, let me read out the mantra. This is the second mantra. So since there are 12 upasanas, so second plus begins with second, ends with 13th. So then the real teaching starts only from the 15th. Here it goes. Saha ha uvache gargyaha. Yaha eva asau adityaya purushaha. Etam eva aham brahma upase iti. Saha ha uvache ajatashatruhu. Mama etasmin samvadishtaha. Atishtaha sarvesham bhutanam murtha and raja. Iti vai aham etam upase iti. Saha yaha etam evam upaste. Atishtaha sarvesham bhutanam murtha raja bhavati. I'll first give you the literal meaning, then we will analyze a little bit. Saha gargyaha ha uvacha. So this ha, this is something like a supporting word. It has really no meaning. So Gargya started his teaching to Ajatashatru. Yaha eva, that being alone, asau, adityaya purushaha, is seen manifest so brilliantly, brightly in this Aditya, in this solar orb. The solar orb is not the only reality. There is a purusha. There is a pure consciousness within that. of whose expression is this orb of the sun giving tremendous energy, tremendous light. In fact, he is called Brahma. Every being is born, both living and non-living, only because of the sun. But this is only, we have to understand later on. Etam eva, and that Purusha, who is so manifestly, is perceived in the solar orb. Etam eva aham Brahma upase. I consider him as the highest reality. In reply, Ajatashatru is telling, Saha ha uvacha Ajatashatruhu. Now, Ajatashatru, after hearing what Garga had to say, now he opened his mouth. He said, Ma etaspin samvadishtaha. Do not speak to me that this upasana you are doing is the highest upasana. That means it is an upasana. I am not saying it is not, but it is very inadequate upasana. I know a better qualities in this Aditya, and three special qualities I am going to point out to you, and you better contemplate this solar, the Purusha, the conscious being, because of whom or who is manifesting in the form of the solar orb. And we have to extend it to the moon, the lightning, the fire, and the stars, everything. We will come to that. So you will have to do the contemplation. And then naturally the doubt comes. Supposing I contemplate, what do I get out of it? And here is the beautiful expression. Sahaya etam evam upaste. One who contemplates that sun, whom we all think it is an orb, is a lifeless object. If we consider him as a manifestation of Brahman, that Purusha, that being, that consciousness within every object, especially this manifest glory in the sun, then what happens? Such a person becomes also like the sun among people in this world, on this earth. What does he become? Atishtaha, Sarvesham Bhutanam Murtha Raja. So three special qualities. Atishtha, Murtha, Raja. So now we will discuss a little bit about these things. So what was Ajatashatru want to teach? Ajatashatru now want to say, what is this Atishtha? Atishtha means prominent, most prominent. He becomes very prominent among all people. Now, if you analyze, look at somebody who is prominent, whether good or evil quality. So, you see, the president of a country, the prime minister of a country, he is very prominent. Wherever he goes, he draws attention. So, whoever meditates acquires this quality of worshipping this Atishtha. He also becomes Atishtha only. So, Ajatashatru, I meditate upon him as an all-surpassing, that is, nobody can surpass him. He would be like the sun. Just as when you look up day or night, who is the brightest star? Only the sun. So far as we know, our experience is concerned, there is no other star which is more shining, more life-giving. No star can surpass our sun. The entire existence of our earthly planet and many other planets, it all depends upon the sun. He is the Brahma, he is the Vishnu, and he is the also Rudra. That concept we will have to connect with him. So this person, he becomes all-surpassing among men. Remember, yada yada upaste tada tat guna samruddhah bhavati. So as we contemplate, that is the great rule. It is a psychological rule. It is not a mysterious rule revealed by the Vedas. So you go on worrying deeply your very face will show you are a warrior. Think of good thoughts and your face cut, your entire body formation will change. And this also Swami Sharadanji mentions in connection with this iti iti marga. So beautiful, such a person by meditating even upon the good qualities, he becomes a good man. Because if you go on thinking, your speech follows your thoughts, then your actions follow your thoughts and speech, and there is no option but to become a good person. If a person thinks spiritual thoughts, he will become spiritual. If a person thinks about God, he will become God. And it works. That is why the great psychological truth, as we think, we become. But it should not be superficial thinking, but profoundly concentration, thinking day and night, we will become that. No doubt about this. It is said that Queen Anne, the 14th, the wife of the Louis, the 14th of the French kingdom, she was given the punishment of beheading. And then that very thought, overnight, she became an old woman. Her entire hair, black, shiny hair, had become absolutely white. I don't know whether it is a fact, but it illustrates what we have to think about it. So, whoever meditates, this is the first quality, Atishta. Then Murtha, he becomes the leader. Because whoever is a great thinker, he becomes a leader. He acquires power, he acquires that splendor, he acquires that brilliance. And whether good or bad, they must be having that tremendous strength. Nobody can become a gunda, an evil person. No weak person can ever become a gunda. He must have both physical as well as mental strength more than other people. Then only he can command. It is said there was one, what is called Nawab, and he was a Muslim king. He was so evil, anybody towards whom he looks, he shrivels and he might even die just by look. So evil he was. So anyway, this is the result. As we meditate, so we become. That means those qualities become our qualities, my character, my nature. So he becomes Murtha. Murtha means the head. Just like in a family there is a head, so also there is a what is called community head and the head of a nation, etc. So for every organization, there will be head. He is called CEO. So thus, whoever meditates upon him as Murtha, head, he becomes, he acquires that power. That means other people automatically bend down their heads and obey him. That is the second quality. First quality is, he becomes all-surpassing in everything compared to other people. Second is, he becomes a leader, a head. Third quality is Raj. Raj means what? He becomes a Raja, becomes a king. But here Shankaracharya says Raj means that which shines. After all, he is meditating upon the brilliance of the sun. So, the entire personality shines. These are not legends. These are not empty words. Once upon a time, the great light used to come out of the body of Sri Ramakrishna. People used to be wonderstruck, hypnotized, looking at the light that is emanating from every pore of Sri Ramakrishna's body. And then he understood, people are not interested in me, in what I say. They are looking at this outward splendor. So he said, I prayed, O Mother, look at this prayer. O Mother, do not come out. You go inside. You be manifesting inside within me. But let the body remain like any other body. After sincere prayer for a long time, slowly that light withdrew itself and started shining from within. Only few people can recognize him. Otherwise, everybody used to look. There are so many instances that one. So, whosoever thus meditates upon the Aditya, in these three qualities, becomes himself all-surpassing, head of all beings, and resplendent. So, this is what Ajatashatru said, and he must have made him, this is how I meditate, and this is how you will have to meditate. And that is how these three qualities have been given. Now, slowly, slowly, we have to understand something. What is this? How does a person really progress? So, in this context, we have to understand what is called Adhishtatru Devata, presiding deity. I have already discussed it. I know you are intelligent students, but this is in connection with understanding of Hiranyagarbha. All these upasanas are, I meditate upon the sun as Hiranyagarbha or Saguna Brahma. Where is Saguna Brahma and Hiranyagarbha here coming? This person is meditating upon the sun. So who is the sun? He is the presiding deity. The sun is the presiding deity of every eye which has the power to perceive forms and colors. Not only that, the sun manifests, makes each one of us experience that which can be experienced through the eye, through two powers. One is that sun is manifesting as my eye, your eye, every creature's eye, enabling to see the form. For example, a deer sees a hungry tiger trying to kill it. It smells. It also sees. It also has got the legs. There is an Adhishtatru Devata for the legs also. He is called Vishnu. Urukramaha. So, this is how Vedanta tells. Every single part of our body consisting of so many sense organs, etc., there is a presiding deity. So, who is a presiding deity? He who first of all manifests as a particular limb in our body and as that particular light in the external world so that we can experience the color, the forms, the sound. Further, you have to understand, if it is the ears, akasha, sound. Sound, akasha, is the Adhishtatru, presiding deity of every sound. And he manifests in the form of the ears. Ears have the ability only to hear, not to see, not to taste, etc. Not only that. So this external world, so the akasha manifests in the form of space, so that the sound can travel, otherwise the ears cannot hear. So this Adhishtatru Devata, presiding deity, manifests as every limb in every jiva. That is the first. Secondly, he manifests as that light. Light means we should not think only sunlight or torchlight. Light means that medium through which every sense organ can experience and experience that particular knowledge, sounds, smells, tastes, etc. Now, there are various Adhishtatru Devatas, as many limbs in our body, so many Adhishtatru Devatas. But what is Hiranyagarbha? He is the sum total of all these presiding deities. That is the point Ajatashatru wanted to teach to this. So when you are saying, I am meditating on Hiranyagarbha, this is what you have to understand. And if the more qualities you acquire, the more will be your understanding. So that is how. So you have to first worship, contemplate, I am only a part of the presiding deity of every limb. So, when we analyze like this, the sun is manifesting in the form of my eye, the akasha space is manifesting in the form of my ear, the hand is manifesting in the form of Indra, Indra is manifesting in the form of the hand, Vishnu is manifesting in the form of my leg, etc., etc. What is left out in me? Nothing. Because even the mind that we think, it is a manifestation of the moon. Finally, I do not remain. Who remains? Presiding deities. Do they remain? No, they also won't remain. Because they realize, in their turn, we are only parts of Samashti called Hiranyagarbha. Then Hiranyagarbha, he realizes, I am the manifestation of Nirguna Brahma. This is going to be the development. In this light, we have to understand all the 12 gunas, that 12 mantras, not 12 gunas, but 12 mantras, where Ajatashatru taught Gargya all the things. So from the second verse to the 13th verse, this is going to be the development. So the first one is Gargya himself introduces Aditya. So Hiranyagarbha says Ajatashatru is endowed with more virtues. What is it? So he is Adishtaha Murtha Raja. Adishta is what? He is all surpassing. So he is Murtha. He is the head. He is the leader. Raja means what? Tremendous light comes out of him. That is why around every saint's head is a halo, is produced to make us indicate there is something within him which is also there within us, but in a unmanifest form. So, Murtha means Pujya, Pujaniya, Adaraniya, Vandaniya. He who has to be respected, he who has to be worshipped, he who is to be honored, he who is to be bowed down to, because as soon as these qualities come, you don't think and do that. Automatically your head will bow down. So, Adishtatva, Murdhatva, Rajatva, Unavishishta Hiranyagarbham, Aham, Upasme. And as I said, Ajatashatru made him go through all these things. So this is the first. Then in the third mantra, Gargya introduces Chandra. Chandra, moon is taken, upon which Hiranyagarbha is meditated. So this is presented by Gargya. And Ajatashatru, as usual, says, there are three special qualities. What you said is not sufficient. And what are those three qualities of this lunar object called Chandra, the moon, what we call, the being in the moon, the Purusha in the moon, Brihat, Pandaravat, Somaraja. Brihat means Brahma. Brahma means Maha, the greatest. Because, remember, according to Vedanta, it is all the Oshadis, all the food materials grow because of the influence of the moon. Without him, we will not be surviving at all. So, that is one. Mahan, great. Pandarvat means he is pure white. That's why we say white, like the moonlight, like white marble. And Kalidasa also says that in a particular season that comes between October and November, so it should be as white. The moonlight should be as white as the milk of a buffalo. That is the simile he gives. Shukla Ambara. Pure white. Purity. So that's why a person becomes pleased whenever we approach pure persons. You approach a baby, he is so pure, he becomes so lovable. You feel like taking in your arms, embracing, protecting. So Somaraja means who is attractive, who is the third quality, Somaraja. So first is Brihat. He pleases everybody, he is great. Second quality, Pandaravat. That means he is like a pure white cloth, purity. Somaraja, he is called Somaraja means who is a very attractive person, pleasing personality. And the result is whoever contemplates upon the moon like this, he will also become great like this. So Ajatashatru also gives one more result. Not only a person by contemplating upon the moon acquires these three qualities, he also gets Anna Samruddhi. Why? So mo bhutva rasoham So, the moon is considered as the creator, the giver of Oshadhis. That is why this person becomes Anna Samruddhi. He enjoys pure mangoes, sweetest mangoes, very fragrant mangoes. All life, if he contemplates, he will meditate upon this. Like this, every quality has been made clear by Ajatashatru, and we presume that Gargya had practiced, contemplated, because he was an expert. He won't take a long time. Once a person succeeds in concentrating and becoming one with it, then it will be easiest for him. That's why it is said, every spiritual practice that was undertaken by Sri Ramakrishna, the result came within 3 days, he attained the goal of that one. Why? Because a fit instrument uses the result very quickly. So, I will stop here. There are another, we only discussed what is called two actually. So, we will discuss the rest of them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhur. May Ramakrishna bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.